Bible, turn to Revelation 9. Revelation 9. You know, when I first got saved, I was so interested in the book of Revelation. It seemed like people are just not as interested as they used to be. They've been put to sleep. You know, with movies and TV and all this stuff now, the supernatural has been imitated so much. It's just imitations. The horror movies, the demonic stuff. And so people nowadays, they don't fear what we read in the book of Revelation. They've seen stuff like this on movies, you know. I remember when I was first saved, there was a movie made back in the 60s, and I got it in the 70s. And Billy, you'll remember Estes Perkel, The Burning Hell. How many of y'all ever seen The Burning Hell? Oh, man. It scared us back then. It's on YouTube. You can go look at it now. It's just, well, I've seen more scary than that on a movie. And people don't fear God like they used to. So they don't fear the Bible like they used to. They've been taught that the Bible is just another, and they'll call it a holy book. They'll say it's just another holy book. But it's not the inspired, infallible Word of God. And it doesn't tell you the future, you know. They'd rather make a special on TV about Nostradamus and his prophecies than they would the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Nostradamus was wrong. Jesus has never been wrong yet. And that's the in the Old Testament, that's the proof of a true prophet. He was never wrong. And so we studied the book of Revelation, and you think, boy, our church people, they'll go out of the way to hear this. No, not the day we live in, they won't. This is that Laodicean age where people are half asleep. But we're here tonight, and I want to show you some things that I think will excite you. Chapter 9, verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, come two woes more hereafter. Now that goes back to chapter 8, verse 13, if you'll remember. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now, one woe is past, and there's two more about to happen. And so as we get into this tonight, I want you to remember the sixth trumpet, and now here's the second woe. Look at verse 12. We'll read 12 through 21. And verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded and heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men or mankind. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now, if you didn't even study that any farther, that right there would have put some fright in somebody right there. Now, that sixth angel, look at verse 13. That sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, if you remember in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was a golden altar, and it had like horns on each end. And these angels are holding, there's one in heaven, and these angels hold on to it. It's in Exodus, and I'm not going to turn there tonight, but it's in Exodus chapter 27, verse 2, if you want to see that altar. And then the altar, the saints prepared prayers on that altar of incense. We saw that. And then the unleashing of judgment will come from this altar when they turn loose from it, okay? Look at verse 14. Saying the sixth angel which had trumpet loosed four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now the river Euphrates, as you know, is still there. And all biblical archaeology that I've ever read, and I don't know, and the Bible doesn't really say, but somewhere in that area was the Garden of Eden. We don't really know where. Some people think the river Euphrates runs through Babylon. And you know what's in Babylon now? Can somebody tell me? Iraq. Saddam Hussein was rebuilding the city of Babylon when we bombed it. He was rebuilding the city of Babylon. Said he was going to be that world ruler that's talked about in the Bible from Babylon. But of course, we stopped that. But he says that the river Euphrates are bound. These four angels are bound in the great river Euphrates. In verse 15, and the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now, do you see what he's saying? These angels, these four angels were created, they were prepared for, they were created for that day. For that day. This is the only reason these angels were created. It says that they were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year for the slay third part of men. God created those angels and put them under the river Euphrates for this day, this hour, and this year, and none other. That's their purpose. That's what they're created for. And then the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. Now, when the river Euphrates dries up, then there's an army can come across that river. Now, of course, most people don't know this, but we sing Amazing Grace when we've been there 10,000 years, forevermore. Somebody said, well, to put 10 million years. Well, the Jews' numbers only went to 10,000, to thousands. It didn't go to millions. It only went to thousands. And so therefore he didn't say millions, but there's an army on the other side of the river Euphrates right now, not far up it, called the Chinese army. And it has this many men in it right now. And don't make a mistake, China is not the friend of Israel. China is teaming up with Russia right now against Israel. They always have. Always have. And don't make a mistake. China will team up with Muslims if they have to kill Israel. They're not a friend of Israel. And so now when these angels do what they're supposed to do, it's set time. Now, Jesus said, no man know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man's coming. But God does. God sets times. And he's got this time set. Now, I know I won't see it happen unless God lets me see it from heaven, because I'm going to be out of here in Revelation chapter 4. He's taking the church out. But this is what's going on earth after we're taken out. Now, look at 17. I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these there was a third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads which they do hurt. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, I've watched a lot of things on YouTube, and I've read, you know, all those books by Hal Lindsey and late great Planet Earth and all that. And of course, the natural mind, we want to try to identify these creatures. We want to try to identify them. We've never seen anything that can do this. We've never seen men nor horses like this. So when you listen to the average prophecy teacher or preacher, especially Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, they want to make these into helicopters and soldiers. I think they were... These are beasts. I really believe this. I take it literally, unless it showed me something that I shouldn't take it literally. I'll take it figuratively. But Jesus never, whenever he said something figurative, he would say like as or something like that. This just gives a description of something. Doesn't say it's like these. It said, now think about this. Don't you think God creates angelic beings just for certain purposes? Sure he does. Look at the seraphim in heaven. Six wings. Got four faces. And they cover their head. And they cover their feet. And then with three, they fly through heaven. And their only job is to shout, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's the angelic choir right there. They're not that pretty blonde-headed angel woman you saw on your wall at the house with blue eyes and a white robe. You'll never find that kind of angel described in the Bible. Matter of fact, you'll never find female angels described. They call them men, but they can't reproduce. They don't have babies because there's no women to have babies with. It's just male-looking angels. And so, therefore, if God created those creatures just to fly through heaven and sing or shout, and he says he created these four just to hold back the Euphrates River, and they're the only ones can open it up, and they're going to open it up, and then these other creatures come out, why would I think it was anything other than what he described? And if you're making anything other than what he described, then I think you're watering down the miraculous. I watched a guy today, he said they're helicopters. They're, what's the name of that bad helicopter they got now? Apache. Yeah, he said they're Apache, and they're shooting out fiery rockets, and they're blowing things up, and that's fire and brimstone smoke. I think when you do that, you're taking out the supernatural. I think it's exactly what it said it is. I don't see a reason to change that. The only reason you would want to change that is to make an unbeliever believe something, because they can't understand spiritual things and they're not going to accept the supernatural. So you got to explain it away into something that's natural. And then when you do that, there's no reason for the believer to believe it, because you just messed the whole thing up. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, preacher, explain these. I've never seen anything like this. Thank God I'm not going to see anything like this. Amen? Don't try to explain it away. When somebody says, well, what does that mean? Say, I don't know. All I know is that's how they look, and they're killing a third part of the men, the people on planet Earth. Now, remember, this is the second third. Now, let me tell you something. If God says it, that settles it. I'm not going to try to explain it away. Now, look at verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship. Now, the works of their hands, he's going to explain what they are. They are idols, the worship of devils, and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk. He said, now the people that's left on planet Earth, all these people's dying and burning up and bleeding to death, being attacked by demonic creatures and all this stuff, and one third of the world's population is being invaded by a force from hell underneath the earth. Look at Matthew 24. Look at verse 21, 22 in Matthew 24. Turn there. Mark this in your Bible. You say, Pastor, you take all this stuff literally? Well, look what Jesus said about it. Matthew 24, 21, 22. Now, some people take Matthew 24, the Jehovah Witness does, the Seventh-day Adventist does, the ignorant Baptist does, and they try to make this the signs before the rapture. It's not. And I'm going to show you. Verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. And we know in context he's talking about the children of Israel, the elect. He said it's going to get so bad that even the Jew would die off and be killed off if it were not for God intervening. Now, listen to this. God's not sitting up there and sitting on the throne and wringing his hand and saying, presidential debate, that's pitiful. I don't know what I'm going to do. And there's Syria. Oh, what are we going to do? And there's Iran. Oh, what are we going to do? And look at China, that heathen nation. What are we going to do? And now Russia's made it against the law to try to convert somebody in the street. The only place you can share the gospel is inside your house or either in the church. And it's getting that way in America. And God's not sitting up there. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Look at Chicago. Killing each other, you know, 500-600 at the time. You know, look over there in South Carolina, boys shooting little old kids and teachers and all this stuff. God's not sitting up there that way. God's got it timed out, Brother Billy. He knew before the foundation of the world all this stuff was going to line up. And every bit of it's lining up. And then, there's going, just like he said in that verse, there's going to be a day and there's going to be an hour and there's going to be a year when he starts pouring out his wrath on mankind. But you got to remember now, every bit of this is to draw the nation of Israel back to him. All these other people are just collateral damage. Bunch of heathens and unbelievers. They wouldn't follow the right God. But remember now, the Jew has the right God. Do you understand that? A real Jew, now not one born a Jew and has no religion, but they call them Orthodox Jew. The believing Jew believes in the right God. He's our God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Same God we worship. He believes in him, or she. But they've never received a knowledge of the truth of his Son so they could be born again and go to heaven. They're still God's chosen nation. God planned all this stuff around that nation so that, and later on we'll see, the Bible says that there'll be a nation born in a day. These people, the whole nation is going to come back to God in one day. And that's what the tribulation period is all about. Now you got to remember, Israel's sitting over there, and now here comes China and whoever else is coming with them, and the river Euphrates dried up, and these ugly beasts come up out of the abyss there, and I'll tell you, it's a frightening thing, and that's why the Bible says it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It really is. Now, but here's the point. They did not, they would not, and they did not repent. They did not, and they would not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Second Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm trying to cram a bunch in here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I got to get over there myself. While you turn there, I want to read you 1 Timothy 4:1. Says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. And that's what these people are following. Doctrines of devils. And listen, when you get wrapped up in that stuff, you'll get so blind you couldn't see the truth if it slapped you in the face. And here's what we say. Boy, if they could just, if they see that, they're going to get right. No, sir, they're not going to get right. They're not going to get right. He said there's coming a lawless one. I'm not going to read the whole passage. He said there's coming a lawless one. There's one that's coming that has no law of God. And he says that this one's coming with lying wonders and signs. And said he's going to deceive them because they did not love the truth and they would not receive the truth. And because of that, he turns them over to a lie and they'll believe a lie. You know what lie is? Yeah, the opposite of truth. And the Antichrist is what compared to Christ? He's the opposite of Christ. And so they're going to follow the Antichrist. And he's this lawless one. And he's going to be doing the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and unrighteousness. And because they didn't love the truth that they could be saved, that God will send them a strong delusion, he says there. Strong delusion. What is that, preacher? Well, a strong delusion is a lie. But it's a spiritual lie. Now, if the Antichrist stepped on stage today, you and I, and he started talking, you and I would automatically see him for who he is. Because we've not been deluded. We know the truth. Jesus said, truth sets you free. So we would know automatically this is the one that's coming, the lawless one, the deceptor. Our Revelation says Apollyon, the destroyer. That's him. So God has to take us out, and then he pours out all these judgments on the people on planet Earth. And here's another third people dying, being destroyed by these demonic creatures, and they still refuse to receive the truth, and they hang on to their idols of wood and stone and gold and silver, and they hang on to them. And their fornication, and their witchcraft. Let me tell you something. We live in a world right now that's got more witchcraft in it than Salem witches ever knew anything about. Most people go to church every Sunday and read a fake fortune every morning in the paper. You'll hear this in churches all the time. Well, karma. They don't even know what karma is. They'll say, well, fate, luck, all that's witchcraft. Every bit of it's anti-Christ. Every bit of it's anti-God's will. And these people, while they're seeing people dying in the streets, they still refuse the truth. Here's what a lot of us have said. Car wreck happens. And you'll hear somebody say, Billy, this might be what it takes to bring them to Christ. And they don't get saved. You know why? That's not what brings people to Christ. We think tragedy brings people to Christ. Sometimes it will stir their emotions where they'll look for some relief and they'll end up coming to Christ, but usually it doesn't happen. You don't know how many times I've been in the hospital where people were sick or dying or hurt and they still would not get saved. And you don't know how many times I've seen false professions with people that said they got saved, and all it was they wanted to be saved from their circumstances, and when the circumstances got straightened out, they were greatly deceived, and they don't live for God, they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, and you go see them, you say, well, are you saved? I said, yeah, I got saved when I had that car wreck. It's the love of God that draws men to repentance. You see, if mankind can just about endure any suffering and pain, look at those people there. Listen, do y'all ever look at those pictures of Syria and the war over there? You'll look at those on the news. 500,000. And it looks like there's been a nuclear bomb blown up in that place. It's just total destroyed. Totally. Children, men, women, doesn't matter. They just kill each other. And it's Muslim killing Muslim. And Betty, you would think that one of them would think, well, you know, there used to be a little church in my town, and that preacher said Jesus Christ was the God of peace and love and comfort. And this ain't got love and comfort in it. I better get over there and worship him. No. But that doesn't do that to people anyway. And they harden their heart. How many times? Now, when I was younger, I'd preach funerals. And I'd think, boy, if I can just preach this funeral right, people would get saved. I couldn't find out there's very few true professions of faith at a funeral. There may be some heartache. There may be some remorse. There may be even some guilt that would make the person come up and pray to get rid of the guilt or the heartache or remorse. But very seldom is anybody convicted of their sins and converted by the Holy Ghost at a funeral. It's usually too late. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. All these people dying, all this tragedy, all of this supernatural things going on, and the Antichrist, the lawless one, he's going to explain every bit of it away. And these people will believe it. And they'll keep their false worship. And that, by the way, these ain't people. We used to see those movies about Mad Max. You know, the world just gets all blowed up and everybody's riding around shooting each other and they got... They're just mean, dressed in leather and all that stuff. No, sir. These are regular people who are worshiping the wrong God. They're worshiping false gods. And they have works, but they don't have God. And they see all these people dying, and they need the explanation. And the Antichrist, the one they're worshiping, will explain every bit of it away. And the Bible says they'll receive a lie, and they'll be damned. Are you listening, children? We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing. I've watched film of Nagasaki and Hiroshima where they dropped the A-bombs, which is 1/100th of a bomb what they have now. And those bombs, they blew up and just spread that heat and that radioactivity went whoosh. People melted, their flesh melted on their bones. That ain't nothing compared to what's happening here. 1/3 of the population of planet Earth dies. And the world keeps right on going. And the world keeps right on going. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, you know. And you know what? They're going to be disobedient, unthankful, and unholy, and without natural affection. Do you know what natural affection is? Unnatural affection is not homosexuality. Natural affection is the love of a mother for a daughter for her mother, a son for his father, a father for his son, a brother for sister, and sister for brother. That's natural affection. Unnatural affection means they don't have that. They don't love people like that anymore. It's, hey, they have affection, but now it's perverted affection, which can include homosexuality, I know. But I'm telling you, natural affection is when mothers don't love their daughters anymore, and daughters don't love their mothers, and sons don't love their father, and their father don't love their son. And ain't that exactly where we're at today, and it's getting worse every day? My wife has to teach that crowd. She knows what I'm talking about. And it's going to get to the point where human life means nothing. It means nothing. So when they see 1/3 of the population killed, and the Antichrist comes out and says, boy, this is bad, we got to get more organized, they'll just keep right on following him. Keep right on following him. Because you know what? There's so much into demonism and sorcery in the Bible always has to do something with pharmacia, drugs. And people are so judged up, drugged up now that they don't have good judgment and they don't have fear anymore. I mean, It would shock you how many people are on prescription drugs and now they have no feelings at all. They have no emotions. They can't cry, they can't laugh, they can't hate, they can't love. And listen, according to Romans 2:4, the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. And did you know people don't even see the goodness of God anymore? They don't see it. Well, I went to the doctor. He told me I didn't have cancer. You ought to be saying, praise God, hallelujah. God didn't let me have cancer. He healed me. Well, what happened? I don't know. Doctor, give me a pill. No, sir, it wasn't doctor. It's goodness of God that lets you live. Had a car wreck. 5 people died, but I made it through. Well, what do you think happened? Well, my airbag saved me. No, it wasn't. It was goodness of God that saved that person. Amen? Some of the meanest people in the world have got some beautiful children and loving families, and they're just mean and rotten. And God's given them so much, and they don't even see the goodness of God in their life. And they're not thankful. And that makes them unholy. And that makes them set up for the Antichrist that's coming. Because he's going to set himself up as God. Now, folks, I watch videos, I listen to sermons and preachers, and they got all kind of ideas about this stuff, and they're trying to explain it away, and I don't see an Apache helicopter in here, and I don't see a tank in here, and I don't see a flamethrower in here, and I don't see an atomic bomb in here. I see the judgment of God that's been prepared since before the foundation of the world. Those angels were locked up under the river Euphrates for this day, this hour, and this year, and this purpose, and he turns them loose, and forgive what I'm going to say, but it seemed like half of hell just breaks loose and comes out. We ain't seen nothing yet. But the good news is, I ain't going to see it. Amen. I got a ticket out of here, Brother Billy. I got a ticket. March the 5th, 1978, the King of Kings stamped my ticket. And it's paid in full, and I'm on my way to heaven, and the trumpet's going to sound. And look, let the world do what they want to. I'm not worried about this stuff at all. It used to be before I was saved. But now I'm saved, I'm not worried about it. I want to warn people, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret. God ain't fretting. The time's set up. The day's set up. The year's set up. It's going to happen. That's why he says fret not. And you don't know the day nor the hour, so you better get busy, because people you love may see it if they're not saved. That's the purpose for it being there. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. We ask